The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
True North, an AM 1460 and FM 101.1, The Answer. Saturday mornings at 8 or via podcast anytime. Now, let's get into it with your host, Dirk Hobbs.
Good morning, Southern Colorado. Welcome to True North. It's Saturday, April 1st, 2023. It's 8 in the morning and another gorgeous day here in Southern Colorado. Welcome to paradise, everybody. Breathe deep. I hope you're enjoying your walk, your biking, your hiking this morning, whatever it is that's refueling your lungs and helping you get your weekend off to a strong start. So we are in the thick of the election discussion. Actually, we're going to start coming in for landing today. So we have interviewed five great candidates so far for the office of mayor. And we are coming in on our last candidate in our series with North and True North. I'm in the studio with a young man who has made himself well-known from security all the way up to Glen Eagle and north of that even. So we're going to get to know him in just a minute, but I want to orient you to a few things. If you want to check out our website, it's coloradomediagroup.com. And check out our media tab. That's where you can hear all the candidates on the podcast that we've done. So if you're not able to catch those live here on Saturday morning, then definitely go out and take a quick listen and find out where your candidate stands on the issues. So each one of them has discussed the big topics in town facing Colorado Springs, and it's no mystery. You know, we're in a transition period, not only from an election standpoint, but, you know, a development standpoint, water, crime and safety, you know, the small town of Colorado Springs is no longer the small town. Mm-hmm. It is growing. And with it comes adult grown-up problems. Mm. And we're going to get into that in just here in just a second. But I want to thank Ramos Law for helping underwrite this program. They afford us the opportunity to have material conversations with these candidates and dig in a little deeper, make a smarter electorate, more aware electorate of what's going on and what each of these individuals believe in and where they want to plant their flag. So thank you for listening to the last five. This is our last in this series, and then we'll start to move on to some of the local business leaders and celebrities, musicians, artists, and sports figures in town, and we'll get back to kind of our regular programming, as it will. So with that, I want to introduce our guest in the studio this morning. He's been here for 12 years and a little over 12 years, coming in on 13. He's an active businessman. So if you're a downtowner, you've probably stopped by the Wild Goose and the meeting house that he has and had a toddy or two or a fresh salad. So he's also a church builder. And has done a pretty extraordinary work here in town, connecting the worship community, the Christian community as well. So, and of course, he's been very civically involved. So he's worked with the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC, Small Business Development Center. As I said, he owns the Wild Goose Meeting House and Good Neighbors Meeting House. And he's also founded something, we'll get into this a little later, called Colorado Springs I Love You, or COS I Love You. So welcome to the studio, Mr. Yemi Mabalade.
Thank you for having me.
Hey.
Thank you.
We've reached the end of the road, at least in this series, for True North.
I'd like to believe that you saved the best for the last.
Well, that a boy. There's some confidence for you. Right on. Absolutely. So tell us, let's get to know you, Yemi, for those who haven't, for the 20 people that haven't met you in person, probably, because I know you've been around. I mean, your social media is exploding. You know, you've got tons of videos and pictures of you meeting people in different places. And it sounds like you've covered a lot of real estate over the last couple of months.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe, Dirk, it's the way it should be done.
Yep.
I call this the longest job interview.
In 16 months for you,
16
right?
months for me. Yep. And if I'm going to earn the job of being the chief public servant for this community, for this city, I need to earn it. I need to be with the people. I need to engage them. I need to listen. Mm-hmm. We have done about 80 meet and greets, mostly in people's living rooms across the city. We've knocked on 15,000 doors.
Yep.
I feel confident on the issues that are keeping our residents up at night. And so it's been a joy and a pleasure to cover that much real estate in the community.
Well, let's get to know you a little bit. So the origins of YAMI.
Origins.
What's your origin story?
It all started in a hot summer. I'm just kidding.
All right. Behave.
Yeah. Well, one of the first things about my origin is I share the same birthday with Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. All right.
February 12th.
Nothing to shrug your shoulders at.
I know. He's a hero of mine. He inspires me. I find my leadership style in his. And so I've studied just about everything I can get my hands on about that man.
About Lincoln.
Yeah, including his spiritual leadership.
Okay.
There's so many fascinating and interesting books out there about Lincoln that friends always get me, so including spiritual leadership. So, that's just a little side note. But
Where did it begin for you?
Yeah, I'm a West African immigrant. I was born in Nigeria, moved to the U.S. Almost 27 years ago.
Right.
I'm a product of opportunity. My siblings and I were very fortunate to come to this country. We had gone as far as we can go after graduating high school. There was no opportunity, zero. No schools to go to, no universities, no jobs. By the favor of God, we landed in this country, went to college, able to find employment after college, which is hard, by the way.
Yes,
it is. You have to be one of the best of the best of the best. I'm not quite sure I was. I just think it's I'm a product of God's favor and hard work. Mm-hmm. So, that's a little bit more of my story origin.
So where's the where'd you go to school? What was your undergrad?
I attended a Christian liberal arts university in Indiana called Bethel University. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were Bethel College. I met the Lord in. I grew up in a. I have Christian origins. My parents are actually both pastors in Nigeria.
Okay,
co-vocational pastors.
Sure.
So they're this kind of dual. Living in Colorado Springs of being a pastor and as well as being involved in the city was just something that was modeled to me by my mom and dad.
Okay.
So they were happy to ensure that to send us to a Christian college. I have my undergrad in business administration and computer information system. So okay. I double majored. I have my master's from another Christian college, Indiana Wesleyan.
Yep.
Also in Indiana in business leadership. And then I have a seminary degree from A.W. Tozer Theological Seminary. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with A.W. Tozer.
Of course.
So that's some of my educational background.
Okay. And your family life, what's that look like?
My family life, I'm married to an incredible woman.
Yeah, you married up, man.
I did marry up. So did you.
Yeah, I've met your bride. I know.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of that daily.
We're lucky men. Abby is Midwestern. She grew up in northern Indiana. My father-in-law, who passed away almost 2 years ago, was a farmer. In fact,
a farmer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I asked for his daughter's hand in marriage as we were planting soybeans.
Old school.
Soybeans that day.
Okay.
So that's my wife's some of her origins. Mm-hmm. She is an ICU nurse in this city and a nursing educator at Pikes Peak State College. Mm-hmm. I serve as on the board of that school as well.
Yep.
We're parents to three young kids. DeWitt is 9 years old. We adopted him from Ethiopia. Then my younger two, biological, Aletheia, Greek New Testament for the word truth.
Okay.
That's a whole story in itself of what God did in our lives because we were having.
Indeed.
We were having challenges getting pregnant. And then my youngest son is 3 years old and his name is Zion.
Zion.
And there's a story too behind his name.
Well, of course. Yeah. Beautiful family.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. We feel blessed. They're ornery.
Yeah, looks like you got your hands full.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, and I appreciate, and I think a lot of folks will appreciate the fact that you picked one up along the way from Ethiopia.
Mm.
So how did that come about real quick?
Yeah, it's unusual actually for an African immigrant to really pursue adoption. It even, my family was even confused when we had.
Really?
Yeah. It's and DeWitt, my son, was the first boy.
Huh.
At the time, it was just all girls in terms of grandkids.
Yeah.
And so the first grandson was adopted. My wife and I have always just felt called to adoption. That was one of our connecting points when we actually met.
Okay.
And so in our perfect reality, we would have two biological kids and two adopted kids. And so we started locally. With foster care, we put that on pause. We felt like the Lord was asking us to use our story, me in particular, as an African immigrant to connect with a kid from the same continent.
Okay.
So,
well, now I do have a question. When you were courting Abby, you said you were planting soybeans. Was that her idea?
No, I was
to go out into the field. And
her dad was planting soybeans.
Okay.
He was a farmer.
Right.
And we were planting soybeans the day I asked him for his daughter's hand in marriage.
Why were you planting soybeans?
Because he's a farmer.
Oh, I know he's a farmer.
I was with him.
Okay.
Because that's the right thing to do is to court your father-in-law. and show that you're interested in, and I love farming. I love gardening.
Okay.
So it was a mutual interest.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you planted a soybean since?
No.
Okay.
Not in Colorado.
Well, definitely not
in
here.
Colorado.
All right. We're hanging out with Yemi Mamalady. He is our sixth of six candidates that we're having a material conversation with. So that was the get to know you phase. Stay tuned for our second quarter where we're going to do a little deeper dive into what Yemi thinks about some of the issues facing our community and some of the challenges he's faced out on the campaign. All of the candidates, not just him, but the way we do things here. So, in Colorado Springs as it relates to electing a mayor. I think there's some refinement that can be done in that conversation. But anyway, stick with us. We're with the good Yemi Mamalady. If you want to get in touch with him, you can go to yemiformayor.com and take a look at his... He's got a great website. That's a good job out there. So we're back in a minute with Yemi.
I got a nightmare phone call that no parent wants to receive.
Someone hit me going 60 miles an hour.
Dr. Ramos came highly recommended. When I showed him the x-rays, he immediately knew exactly what was wrong.
We've had a tremendous experience with Ramos Law. Really, I could not be happier.
Having the car accident was an accident. Finding Ramos Law was no accident.
Injured in a car accident? Ramos Law can help. RamosLaw.com.
Second quarter here with Yemi Mamalady, and you know, we got to know him here just in the last 12 minutes or so, and now we're going to poke on some of the issues facing our community. Yemi, you know, there's no shortage of issues, and I know you guys have gone around and you've done your talking points, so I'm going to pick a few of these. And I want you to do a deeper dive and share with the folks what is your true understanding of not only the issue but what you propose to solve it.
Right.
Okay. So first of all, smart growth and development in this town. I mean, there's two camps, really. The camp that says, yeah, grow until you can't grow anymore, right? And then there's another group that says, well, maybe not so much. Right. Let's slow this down a little bit, be a little more organized and deliberate about what we're doing. Where do you live in that discussion?
I live in a tertium quid. You going, huh?
Yep, I'm there.
A tertium quid is a phrase I learned in seminary that's Latin for a third way. This is an example of Abraham Lincoln style leadership, which is very instrumental in holding the Union together in the mid 1800s. Because often it's a tyranny of the or, and we need to embrace the genius of the and. And I'm an economic developer at heart, and I spent 5 years as an economic developer in this city. So growth is part of a necessary part of a healthy and thriving city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a parent of three young kids. I often say they're going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Growth is inevitable. That story has been told. But as a parent, it's important that I'm able to affect the good growth of my kids. They're going to grow regardless. And that's where I land in this third way of how do we grow in a way that is intelligent and sustainable? Because it's not as though that our resources, our natural resources, are unlimited. So here's where I'll land. As mayor, our development and growth conversations will be at the same table of our master plans and the conversations around fire mitigation. Our water experts will be at the table, our city traffic engineers. It's not one or the other. Both conversations need to be had at the same time to ensure that as we grow, we're asking ourselves a question: what about our infrastructure? What about our resources? Do we have those infrastructure and resources to keep up with the growth? And that's the way I'm going to be leading this city.
So you're at the table, you're hearing these discussions. I mean, unpack some of your personal doctrine into the conversation as they're discussing the challenges that we're facing, whether it's the water situation or the infrastructure discussion. Where do you weigh in as the chief executive?
First of all, I represent 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important for our listeners to know is the type of campaign I'm running, I'm not bought by any one group or special interest. I am accountable to the residents of Colorado Springs. I'm accountable to 500,000 people. It's how I've run my campaign and how I would lead our city. So when I am engaging in those conversations, the number one conversation is, what are the residents saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those inform my priorities. So if you ask me, Yemi, what are the top three things you're running on? I'll tell you that here are the top three things I've heard from knocking on 15,000 doors and attending 80 meet and greets.
What are
So the questions are, is my neighborhood safe? Number two question is, do we have the infrastructure? This is the conversation we're having to keep up with the rising growth of our city.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is, can I afford to live in the city? So therefore I am running on public safety.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is infrastructure. And number three is our economic vitality. So that's how I will lead those conversations in terms of public engagement. What are the residents saying? And then number two, what is the best decision for our city? The common good test.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, if you actually go on my website, you will see that I have under my vision for the city, there's a fourth area I called my philosophy of governance
mm-hmm.
and government. And there are seven core principles that I'll be using to lead the city. And one of them is a common good. One of them is caring for God's earth. Another one is city flourishing. Another one is the rights and responsibility of everyone. Another one is the role of government. So these are the things that help shape how I make decisions. And these are adopted from the Catholic social teaching, by the way. they're not new to me, but they provide great wisdom on how government should be caring for the people of the and the community.
So that's the philosophical angle. So what's the pragmatic angle? Let's talk about the public safety component first.
Yes.
Okay, because that is first and foremost. I mean, we've had
One of the top issues.
Highest murder rate
right.
in the city's history. You know, a lot of B&E, breaking and entering, a lot of catch and release stuff
right.
going on. The cops are struggling, you know, to keep the morale up.
Yes.
So you got that going on. You know, this is it's a national conversation for a myriad of reasons, but how do we remedy this on a local level?
You're right. It is a national conversation, Dirk. It's not limited to Colorado Springs, but I believe that our city can be a shining example of what it looks like mm-hmm. to work together to solve problems. And this is why I'm running. I'm running because my city needs my leadership. When you look at all the top issues that we in front of us, including public safety,
mm-hmm.
you need a leader with the ability to navigate the complex political, social, and cultural world that we live today.
Sure, sure.
And a leader that can bring people together. And so that's how I will lead in this conversation, is showing immense support for public safety, the men and women who wear that uniform, who wear that badge to protect us.
Right.
And also trying to restore trust and humanize the badge with parts of our communities that are struggling with law enforcement. You have a leader who can live in that tension. So when it comes to some of my specific policy items or what I want to do with regards to crime, have to address our 70-person shortage, and we would do that by increasing recruitment, year-round academies, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But a very important component of how we help with the shortage is boost the morale. You touched on that.
Mm-hmm.
We can keep recruiting, but if we don't close the back door, never going to catch up. So I will boost morale with three things. One is recognition for exemplary performance. Number two is encouraging work-life balance because the job is hard.
It is.
And number three is additional training and leadership opportunities for our law enforcement.
Yeah. Keep going.
Officers. Thank you.
So on the affordable housing side, because that was, you know, how can I afford to live here was one of your other talking components. So, I mean, how does a mayor affect that kind of change? How can you actually do it? What are the tactical and strategic steps that make that different for our service providers? You know, the folks that are earning minimum wage are a little bit better than that. And, you know, they're making a living wage, but barely. And it's tough. I mean, you got $2,000 rent north of Woodman Road here. That's a non-starter for many. So how does a mayor and a city council solve that problem?
That's a great question. And this problem is not only going to be solved by the mayor's office.
Mm-hmm. And it's a collaboration.
It's a collaboration. Yeah. And I am proud of the efforts that are happening right now with many of the leaders in this community, the Affordable Housing Coalition, and beyond. I think now it's called the Pikes Peak Housing Network. Mm-hmm. And they're about to hire an executive director. So I will be, as mayor, I'll be working in close collaboration with many of these entities because the city is not a housing provider, but I get to affect the right environment to ensure that we can increase housing. The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over, expecting that.
You think we're doing that?
Yeah.
How because, so?
We know the cost, the building materials are too expensive. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, construction is expensive. There's no way we can bring down that cost of housing down. So one of the things I'm promoting and pushing for is housing innovation. Can we, have the same quality of housing with new types of building materials and development? And the answer is yes. There's 3D housing, there's modular housing, because right now there's no incentives for builders to build housing in that kind of $350,000 range. Mm-hmm. The people that are most vulnerable to this housing crisis are what I call the pillars of our community, our teachers, our law enforcement officers, military, people that make between $50,000 to $100,000. Mm-hmm. There's virtually no housing for them. So we have to begin to welcome different types of solutions and developments to the table. And that's one of the things I will be doing as mayor.
And are you hearing that from the development side? The owners of those corporations that are saying, yes, there are alternatives and there are viable solutions that we can employ now?
I'm hearing that from the traditional development. What will help them is if we can increase financing. Mm-hmm. From you've heard of the LIHTC, dollars that, and those go for what is known as traditional affordable. So actually 20% of developments happening right now are in that traditional affordable. But what we don't have financing for is that missing middle income earners, the 50 to 100,000. What I'm hearing from our community and is the new types of development and developers reaching out to me saying, we can help be a part of that solution.
You are hearing that.
I am hearing that. I am meeting with some of those people. They need access to the city.
That's right.
Yeah. And I get to welcome them to the table to help me solve this problem.
Very good. Yeah. All right, folks, we're here with Yemi Mobolade, and he is making his case for the chief executive officer job here in the city of Colorado Springs. Mayor of Colorado Springs election is April 4th. This coming Tuesday, we're just a few days away. So you've had your ballot in hand for a long time. Look up and down the ballot from top to bottom. Read the issues. Read every website. Do your homework, folks. This is an important election. We're kind of a crossroads for our community. We've done an extraordinary amount of growth in the last several years, and it's been wonderful from an economic standpoint. But we're also heading into a season of challenge, not only on the national level, but that will trickle down here at some point. But one of these candidates will eventually hold the office, and you want to make sure you've got your vote in there, your voice was heard, and that you have weighed all the options very, very carefully. So hopefully these interviews have helped you a little bit, but I also want to encourage you to take a look at the magazine and read each and every profile. Yemi, one more question as we dive out real quick here. What's your jam song, man, as you're cruising through town?
My campaign jam song?
Yeah, what's your jam song? How do you get energized?
Actually, I get energized through worship music.
Okay.
I do.
And what's your guy?
Right now I'm listening to Firm Foundation.
Firm Foundation. Yeah. All right.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Well, there it is. We don't need a song.
I used to be a worship leader.
All right, we're back in a minute.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything.
the news and events that matter to you. AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
I've got peace that makes no sense.
And we're back. Welcome to True North. You're listening to Dirk Hobbs here on AM 1460, 101.1 FM, The Answer. Again, thank you, Ramos Law, for helping us underwrite this program so we can get to know these mayoral candidates and find out who is the best potential leader for our community. So far, we've had five great interviews. We're having our sixth and final today with Yemi Mobolade, who's in the studio with me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Glad you're back. And My Firm Foundation, we played you out on. So, and I can totally see you in the car.
Jamming that?
Jamming that.
And in the shower, too.
Well, there you have it, folks. So we got a singer. We got a singer on our hands, but he's a worship leader. So, all right. So, you know, we started talking about, you know, some of the issues affecting our town. You got some seriousness about this. And let's dive a little deeper now. I want to hear a little bit more about, what's your comprehension of the water issue, and what are some of your proposed long-term plans as we navigate this inevitable situation that we're heading right for it?
Yeah, Dirk, water's on the top of everyone's mind.
Sure.
Colorado Springs water, and Colorado water is like gold. It is a it's a precious natural resource.
Right.
Water is not limited, but our access to it, living in the desert, is limited. Mm-hmm. And the Colorado River is drying up, so we know that. That's not fake news.
Well, those packs are not favorable for us.
They're not favorable. And so we can't act and behave as though we have this endless supply of water. So we have to be smart as we think about our water resources. And the heart of this question around water is, do we have enough water to meet the existing demands of today as we consider the future growth of our city? The heart of the solution is around sustainable and intelligent growth. I want to cut through the noise. There's a lot of the battle around water, which is connected to our development community. Mm-hmm. But I want to cut through that noise and ensure that as mayor, I am leading a conversation that is best for our community. Because we do have to balance the fact that we don't have enough water with the fact that we're still short 12,000 units.
Right.
And we have to.
Right.
Here's where I'm gonna land. No one is talking about the 2006 annexation plan.
Okay.
That actually addresses some of these issues. There are three things in a plan that I want to point out. Number one, it says that the citizens of Colorado Springs are owners to the water for themselves. So 500,000 people own the water within those that live within a corporate city limits. Number two, we're not imposed by any law to provide water for any use outside of the city corporate limits. Number three, this is really important. As the Pikes Peak urban area grows, the city should consider the water needs for the uses outside the city. But first, we have to ensure that we have enough water for our existing current needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the water rule comes in.
Okay.
It's a good starting place for the conversation that should have happened 20 years ago. I do believe we were in a hurry to get there. I say starting place because the conversation needs to continue. And the conversation needs to be regional, not just Colorado Springs itself. We have to look at our area municipalities and the county as a whole to ensure that we have a comprehensive plan to protect our water for today.
And the Springs is, I mean, it's projected to grow beyond Denver's population.
Yeah, the Pikes Peak area is projected by 2045 to grow up to about 1 million.
Right.
And Colorado Springs by 2050 is supposed to be the largest city in the state.
That's a lot of demand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Though, Dirk, I should say some of the state demographers is showing that some of that growth is also slowing down.
It is slowing down now.
Yeah.
But we'll have another cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, absolutely. Everything's slowing down right now.
Right.
In the good old USA.
Right.
But
we do have to balance. So conservation.
Sure.
So the listeners, join me in doing your part.
Part of the equation.
Conservation. And then acquiring new water through the agricultural water rights and relationship and that innovative program, where they get to save water and then we get to buy some of that water back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an all hands on deck approach, including our listeners doing their part as well.
And you're talking about the Bent County component?
Yes, Bent County. And I got to see that firsthand and meet some of the farmers and was really inspired by even some of the next generation of farmers who are saying yes to their family trade.
But they didn't encourage you to plant anything.
No. I was really excited to connect with those younger guys because I'm looking at the tractors and new equipment, and it made me think of my father-in-law.
So the developments, back to the development side as it relates to the water and infrastructure. So we've got an expanding population. You've got a police force, fire force that are stretched very thin
right
now. And, you know, what are the next 4 years look like by the time you're done with your first term as mayor, perhaps? What does that then look like from where you are today?
That's a great question. 4 years from now, we will be making strides. These top three issues, we're not going to solve overnight. But we need to look at a 10-year plan, a 4-year plan. And we also look at even what we want to accomplish year to year. What I want to be able to provide to the residents is an actual plan, a proposal of the tangible steps that we are making and that we're able to monitor the short-term wins in terms of how we are moving. I hope that in 4 years, we're no longer 12,000 units short of housing. Maybe we are 10,000. Maybe we are 8,000. I mean, we're chipping away at those numbers. With regards to water, I hope that the county and the city is working together to have an actual plan that benefits our resident, that we have a new annexation plan. We need to take that 2006 plan and refresh it and ensure that we are doing that dance between when we need to annex new property and when we need to say no to annexing new property because we don't have enough water.
So to the pragmatists listening out there, you know, hope is one thing. So what are some of the assurances, that you're going to bring to the conversation as you're meeting with city council developers and all the key stakeholders that are going to move these pieces and have individual demands?
Right.
You know, we've got to get police and fire response back up to the levels that this community was accustomed to, not just 4 years ago. So that's a pretty important component.
Right.
If you're living out in Black Forest and you got, you know, 15 to 18 minutes on response times, a lot of the damage is done.
Right. So no, absolutely. It's not uncommon to be put on hold these days when you call 911.
Right.
No,
that's a non-starter for some folks. Yeah.
I am confident in 4 years we'll be fully staffed. That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer because I would be at the helm of recruiting. So the three issues that I've mentioned, these are not areas I'm just assigning to staff members. These are areas personally as a leader I've been leaning into. So I'm not just dependent on my police recruiter. I am at the helm of recruiting. I am at the helm of recognizing our law enforcement officers for incredible work being done. I'm at the helm of boosting morale. So I'm confident that we will, that's the easy part for me. Some of the more challenging aspect is how do we prevent crime in the first place? Because when we talk about crime, we're often talking about addressing.
Yeah.
I have a great relationship with our law enforcement right now, with the leadership, and also with the leadership of our law enforcement around the city, from Fountain to the county. So we're already making plans in terms of a regional-wide, even law enforcement collaboration.
Yep.
But we have to make sure we're also preventing crime from happening in the first place.
Can you share any of those plans?
Yeah. I'd like to reignite the Youth Advisory Council, started by the former chief of police, Pete Carey, who's also a dear friend. That program ended in 2020. And what that program is it brings high schoolers to the mayor's table and also to the chief of police table. And what we do on a monthly basis is to exchange of information. So we try to get ahead of some of the issues that are happening in the school system, hopefully to prevent crime from happening. And they have access to city leadership and including resources that are available to help our young people. So that's an example of a program that was effective to get ahead of crime. And one of the things I would be reigniting as mayor.
Where do you stand? You know, last week we had a horrific issue in Nashville with the shooting.
Right.
You know, another school shooting. I hate that phrase just to begin with.
Yeah.
But are you of the mindset that we need officials in every school?
Oh, gosh. We need something.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a school board member. I'm running to become the 42nd mayor of Colorado Springs. That said, I am the only candidate with actually young kids in the school system. When I read the news, I lost it.
Oh, of course.
Dirk, my oldest is 9 years old, and this is making me tear up again.
I'm sorry, brother. Yeah, it's a hard topic for us all.
Three 9 year olds were killed. My oldest is nine, and I kept thinking of my son. And so we have to do something. Something has got to be done. We cannot do the same things over and over. So yes, I am in favor of having law enforcement in every school because public safety of my family.
Mm-hmm. Priority one.
It's priority one.
Yep.
And I know if my family benefits from it, the rest of the city will benefit from it.
Yep.
And that's why one of the reasons I'm running.
Well,
sorry, you made me cry there.
Hey, well, it made everybody cry. If you don't even have to have kids to know.
Right.
We're in a crucible right now of the likes of which are just surreal to understand. But
public safety is a real...
It's a massive issue.
And like the development conversation, public safety conversation is getting lost in the political madness.
Yep.
It's why I believe you need a leader who can navigate all the political, because it's either you're here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying it's a tertium quid. We need a solution that is pragmatic for our residents, not just hijacked by politics.
Well, and that's when you go berserk.
Now I'm frustrated.
All right, we got them fired up, folks. Only took three quarters, but hey, we got them there. But yeah, it is frustrating when you listen to the dialogue on the national news scene. It's about gun control.
Right.
Wait a minute. Six people are gone.
Right.
Okay. Three of those are students.
Right.
And babies.
Right.
And so, you know, there's very little conversation around that. And then, of course, the transgender conversation came into the conversation. It's like, wait a minute. All that notwithstanding.
Right.
No, we just lost six valuable citizens,
right.
And we're done, folks. We are done. So we're back with Yemi Mobileta here. We're going to continue a little bit of this conversation, but we're also going to talk about our election process here in El Paso County. We're going to unpack that a little bit because these guys have made the tour. They have they've been in 20-plus debate forums, and it's exhausting for everybody. And it's really hard to get beyond those boilerplate talking points and get into the material discussion that needs to be had to advance our city into the next 4 years. So hang out. We got one more quarter with Yemi here. The election is April 4th. That's this Tuesday. Get out there and vote. We are back in just a few minutes with Yemi Mobileta.
He won't fail. No, he
One critical fact that needs to be established is that your injuries were caused by the accident incident you were involved in. For your case to have merit, it must be made clear that had you not been in the crash in the first place, you wouldn't have been hurt. This is one of the most important steps in the entire process, and leaving it to anyone but an expert is a serious mistake. Ramos Law, doctor, lawyer, partner, combining medical and legal knowledge for better outcomes for you.
And we're back here with Yemi Mobileta, the sixth and final candidate that we're interviewing here on True North. You're listening to Dirk Hobbs here on AM 1460, 101.1 FM, The Answer. Thank you, Salem Media, for letting us play in your playground and interview these great folks. So, touchy subjects. We covered a little bit of touchy real estate there. But you know what? I think we can all agree. We're done with the he shit. You know, they did this.
Right.
They did this.
Right.
You know. Americans are so desperate for leadership right now, on every level, at the national level, all the way down to the city level. Yemi, you're proposing to have a very different conversation with local key stakeholders to get some of these elements done.
Right.
And I can appreciate some of what you said, but like a lot of people out there, there's people listening who say, you know what, this is a great guy, but he's never held office before.
Right.
And I mean, we're in the deep end of the pool, man. We need a seasoned veteran.
Right.
So talk through that a little bit.
Well, you mentioned there's a hunger for great leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And great leadership doesn't mean experience in a ballot. I think that's a misnomer. I want to get back to old school American politics where folks left their farms, went to serve the community, and went back into farming. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm inspired to do this. President Reagan came to show that good governance and a solutions-driven approach to getting things done does not require experience in the ballot, but the ability to bring people together to solve some of our community's toughest problems. In fact, when he ran for governor of California, he was told, you don't have no political experience. You know what he said? He said, good, I get to see things with fresh eyes. America needs fresh eyes. It's why even you see, even why President Trump was elected, we're tired of the same old. So to equate leadership with political experience, I am proud to not have that political experience. Boy, where's what I bring to the table? A seasoned community leader, city leader.
Mm-hmm.
I will be bringing my experience, business experience to the table. I will be bringing my nonprofit experience to the table. And I will be bringing actually my civic experience from being the only candidate that has actually worked as one of the 2,500 people that I'm going to be serving. I was a small business development administrator for the city of Colorado Springs. I've supported and helped a ton of businesses in our city. That triple strike leadership is what I'll be bringing in, and the ability to lead across so many different entities is what you actually need from a mayor.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to know the issues too.
Yes.
And you got to know how to wire those discussions such that, and you got to be able to cooperate with city council. I think any reasonable, rational person would say John Southers did a great job in
Absolutely.
Terms of marrying the mayor's office with city council and creating a unified front.
Right.
And they got some work done.
Right.
Are you in the same camp, generally speaking?
Oh, yeah. You're talking to a consummate collaborator. Everything I've done in this community, from the nonprofit COS I Love You that unites 100 churches together, diverse churches, to serve the city, took a leadership like mine with great collaboration. Two, a platform called Permit Partner. I encourage the residents to check it out. That's my project. I brought all the government factions of our community together. So in one platform, you can have the permit information you need to start your business or to do your block party in your community. You need a leader who can do that. And John Southers got us going in that. I actually got a bird's eye view into his work.
Mm-hmm.
My office was in the same floor as his, five offices away. So I know actually what I'd like to continue. And that's an area I'd like to not just continue, but to perfect it. Because we can't get anything done without great collaboration.
So you're not totally green. I mean, you've been behind the curtain, so to speak, of the city apparatus. You know.
Absolutely. The CFO's department meets economic development, meets regional mm-hmm. development and planning. And so that's, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, you've also taken a few arrows out there, and then, you know, there's just news, good, bad, or indifferent, accurate, or inaccurate.
Right.
So let's just hit them right between the eyes here. Your experience at Wild Goose with Russ Ware,
right.
You know, this didn't go well for him. So, right. And you've since taken over that organization. So
yeah.
Unpack that briefly for us.
Yeah. So about a year ago, really, I confronted Russ, who was a guy that I was in business partnership with. He served as a president of our business while I stepped away mm-hmm. to handle citywide leadership. And Russ had been stealing our own money, which doesn't make any sense because it's his money too. but as a leader who believes in the rule of law, I confronted him and called CSPD. I'm working with incredible detectives who have become great friends of mine. And so he left our business in a pretty rough spot.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm proud of is my ability to step in and take what was damaged and make something even better. So we're even running a better business today. And here's the thing to our listeners. You want a leader who's tried and tested.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants. And so when people say, what experience do you have to bring? That's it.
Life experience, resilience.
Life experience and business experience, resilience and the mm-hmm. ability to look at a budget, make some hard calls, cut the fat,
mm-hmm.
Look at waste, have a contingency plan. And I've done that consistently, even when Russ made those poor choices.
Yep.
And by the way, I should mention also, while looking out for the interest of many of our members and stakeholders who are also owners in these businesses too. So caring for others too
yep.
is what I've done.
Absolutely. Yep. And you've also taken some arrows as far as being connected to the BLM movement by virtue of whatever happened. It's called the wage issues 2020.
Oh, yeah. Those two are connected.
They're tied together. So
yeah.
There's a little bit of misperception out there.
Right.
From your point of view about what all that means and how you're connected or not connected to that movement.
Right. So listeners, you know that I am a black leader mm-hmm. and, you know, I talked
really?
About being, well, it's not a video. It's and 2020 was a hard year, as
yeah.
we can imagine, COVID. And,
COVID, yep.
I, you know, for me personally, I lost, that's the year I lost my father-in-law and it was a terrible year. And it was a hard year for many of my team members too. We chose to have Black Lives Matter signs in our business, not in support of the organization, but in support of the spirit of the movement to ensure that, you know, our world is fair for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
one of the things we did, leadership that I displayed in that season, was to host productive dialogue to bring the conversations together in our cafe. So we brought Black leaders into the conversation as well as CSPD to the conversation.
Colorado Springs Police.
Colorado Springs Police. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And
Goose Talks.
Goose Talks. Thank you.
Yeah.
The young people in my staff resisted and they began to cancel me. And that what led to the wage issues.
Yeah.
So they were looking for ways to tear down both of my businesses because they didn't like that. How dare I welcome
the police.
How dare I support the police? And so as they went through the list of things that they could destroy my businesses around, the one area was our wages. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the restaurant industry, you understand that there's a tip minimum wage and how you do tips. We share tips with front of house and back of house.
Mm-hmm.
That was contested. We accepted it. And then we changed our model. So our team members are all paid full minimum wage and tips on top of that.
Sure.
So it even worked out better for many of our team members. Again, another example of here's a challenge in front of you. And how to make something better from it.
But here's that inexperience in youth, you know, and they listen to sound bites and they say, oh, everybody hates the police now.
Right.
And you should too. No,
it's
you know, how do we get there real quick? Because we're running out of time here. But
it's one of the examples I use is, you know, people have come to my cafes and I've had a friend or two who say, hey, I had a bad experience and would let me know. And then I have the opportunity to retrain or to take care of it. I would say that it's silly to say, okay, just shut down the whole business because, you know, there was a bad experience. And that's kind of the wisdom that's being brought into CSPD. There are a lot of great women and men.
Of course.
Serving. I think of Kayla, who I did my ride along with.
Yeah.
Former third grade teacher, 30 years old. She is crushing it. Is willing to give her life. And that one always makes me tear up when I... And she's like, any moment, I'm willing to give my life for my fellow resident.
Wow. These people live out there. They're serving
among us. There are so many incredible Kaylas out there, and we need to support them and cut through this chaos of... I'm a leader that wants to live in the tension of elevating all of our community, including our law enforcement personnel.
Well, I wish you every bit of luck. I wish all the candidates good luck. And, you know, this has been a long journey for all of you. You're tired. 1 minute close. Make your case.
Friends, I'm running because my city needs me. And here's the thing. Our city is at an inflection point between a history that has brought us where we are today and a moldable future. You get a say in terms of the future of your city and the direction of your city. And I hope that you will choose me as part of that direction because I want to serve you. I want to cut through the madness and elevate Colorado Springs. I will put our quality of life ahead of any political agenda. I will put you and your families ahead of the madness. And it's why I'm running. And the proof is in the pudding. If you study my campaign, you see that my campaign not only has the best leaders, but also I am being supported by every neighborhood and every zip code, not just special interest groups. I am nobody's mayor but yours.
Wonderful. Mayor, candidate for mayor, Yemi Momalade. You can see his campaign strategy. You can see his talking points and how he thinks about all things that are significant to our community right now at YemiForMayor.com. Take a quick look out there. Read through it carefully. I'm going to leave you this week with a great song. This is something we do here on True North. You know, one of my favorite artists is Steve Perry from Journey. And he was first brought to the limelight back in 1978 with Journey's release of the Infinity album. So I'm going to cut you loose with one of his first public appearances here called Feeling That Way, where he and Greg Raleigh teed it up. And this was before auto-tune, folks, so listen to his voice. It is absolute salve to the soul. But enjoy it. Feeling That Way by Journey. See you next week, folks.
You've been listening to True North with your host, Dirk Hobbs, Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.